You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 5 December. We've got local foreign exchange reserve data, 8 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skelklo, PSG, Old Oak. Vodacom has upped their stake in Safaricom to a controlling stake. But you know what? Telcos have quietly had a very good year. We'll talk around that. Sossi, also, Alan Gray took a 15% plus stake. We're chatting with Editor-in-Chief, Fast Company, AI in Africa, and the risk of the continent falling behind. We are users, but we also need to be builders. And thoughts from me, if ever we needed the proof, stock market is not the economy. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. No, says Treasury, to 3.3 billion rand Gauteng e-toll interest waiver, but will allow it to borrow 4 billion for backlog maintenance related to the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project. Bloomberg, Meta's Zuckerberg plans deep cuts for metaverse efforts. This is the Reality Labs that he has poured tens of billions of dollars into with little to show for it. Morning markets. US was mixed. S&P was up 0.1% and Nasdaq is down 0.1%. The East is all red. Sydney 0.1% lower. Tokyo just over 1% down. Hong Kong 0.3% weaker. Tencent a little over 0.5% weaker. Commodities are mixed. Gold futures 4,232, Brent 6,311. On the red side, platinum 1,656, palladium 1,490. The rand is 16.97, Bitcoin 92,400, and top 40 opening call, a green open, but 70 points or little under 0.1%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Skulk Low, PSG, Old Oak. Skulk, always appreciate the early morning. I said in the intro there, at telcos, all the excitement's been gold and precious metal miners. They've quietly had a good year. Latest news, Vodacom is upping its stake in Safaricom to a controlling stake. We've got the Cell C listing, which, I mean, the price was down on what anticipated, but it's done well since. Alan Gray's taken a 15% stake there. How are you looking at the sector as we head into 2026?
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. You just said, I mean, it quietly went up. I mean, when I look at gold, I think of violently going up. I mean, Anglo Gold, 245% up for this year. Durban, the Roodepoort Deep, Pan African, you know, all these gold mines close to 200%. And naturally, that is up there. The JSE having a wonderful year. I mean, we're talking about year to date as we sit here, JSE up over 36%. And just, you know, while we're speaking about that, I mean, this is a year, 2025, that will be known as the year that was dominated. I would say dominated by precious metals. Not only, you know, the golds. We've seen the platinums, palladiums, you know, doing really, really well since April. But during this year, I mean, we've had the, you and I often had this boring is beautiful analogy with the telcos. I mean, MTN up 77% this year. I'm going to add Blue Label because that was driven by the whole Cell C. I mean, that's up 73%. Telkom up 53%. And Vodacom, the lagger, and I'm saying that with a big wink, I mean, that's up over 37%. So all our telcos managed to outperform this the JSE's performance of 36% this year. So that's my intro, long one. Yes, we've seen the Safaricom deal yesterday, but one should also look at this very similar to what we've seen in the gold mines. We've heard these gold mines talking about they're not really finding new mines to invest in. It's a tough environment because, I mean, if you're going to go buy a gold mine now, you're going to most probably overpay or need to pay quite a lot. We've seen the first gold mine listing on the JSE yesterday for in decades. Mm. We heard back from the company saying, well, the reason why they're listing this company is because these mines, these shafts didn't make money when the gold price was lower, and it's now better. Back to the telcos. I mean, when you look at Safaricom's share price is up over 83% for the past year. So this let's call it investment investment is by no means opportunistic. Looking at a great opportunity, buying into a value opportunity. So your big question is, there still value in our telcos? So I want to start off by saying this is a very, very, I would say, difficult industry to invest in. We'd be sitting with four listed telcos just on the JSE, and you can add a few others, Rain, that's non-listed. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at the US, the US way larger than South Africa, I think they're sitting with three. So this is going to be a tough environment for them to be in. And when we've seen this type of run, you need to really go and sharpen your pencil when you do valuations. You know, over the past 5 years, none of these telcos that's listed, I wouldn't call them expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at forward PEs, Vodacom 12 times, MTN 10.4 times, Telkom still on single digits. That's by no means a let's call it an expensive, but they did come off very, very low evaluations over the past 5 years, and they will not need to reinvent themselves by a company or buy into a company that has done 83% just get that, let's call it fintech possibilities. Great fintech company, Safaricom, and I know why they're doing this, and it's I give Vodacom kudos for this, but this is going to be a tough environment for this industry.
Yeah, and I'm looking at 10-year CAGRs, compound annual growth rate. They range from minus 1.5 to plus 1.5. It hasn't been a spectacular over the time. Quick last question. You just tweeted a moment ago, I imagine, over your first cup of coffee. Our local market in US dollars, to be clear, 62% for the year. I mean, that tells the story you led with around the gold miners. Ninth in the world. I can't believe we get 62% and we're barely in the top 10.
Yeah. South Korea, 81%. And just to explain to the listeners out there, I do a tweet, you know, once a month where I'll look at these, and this is actually tradable ETFs. And this South Africa is not the JSE, that's the MSCI South Africa. So that's naturally companies that's got that primary listing in South Africa. So I usually call it the SA Inks. I mean, this is one of the best ways of investing in the SA Inks. And when you look at the SA Inks, 62% year to date, finding themselves in ninth position. Who would have thought, Simon? When we went into 2005, I told you we're going to be sitting on the 5th of December. We're going to be ninth in the world with a US dollar return of 62%. You would have said, get out of here.
Dude, I would have called the crazy people on you. We'll leave it there. That's Skokler, PSG Old Oak. Always appreciate the early morning insight. Our poll today is back to that Vodacom deal. But telcos, I think Skok makes a point. I mean, they're not expensive, but it's a tough sector. Have your vote. Have your say. Let us know. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Wesley Tepoko. He is technology analyst and editor-in-chief at Fast Company South Africa. Wesley, appreciate the time. 2025 has very much been a year of AI. We got our first public LLM 3 years ago. We have had the Mag 7 doing great. We have had just the recent release of the new Gemini model, Nano Banana, which keeps on blowing my brain in terms of its ability. My question is, in a recent column, you talk around the G20 and the theme on inequality. You mentioned the countries developing AI are going to get the returns, but not those who just consume it. A broad question to start, but where is Africa in this AI journey? Because my sense is very much that we are, at best, a consumer.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that was the, I would say, a sense I also got from the meetings I've attended, but also it is my personal view that I don't think we are developers yet. I think we are consumers, and what that means is that we use technology that's being developed, that is the AI that's been developed, we use it for whatever else that we want, whether it be health, education, whatever. I think that's where we are at this stage. And I make the point that I think there are attempts to at least be a player in this space. Cite an example of the Cassava Technologies and the NVIDIA collaboration of creating an AI factory, if you want, in the continent, which I think is a step in the right direction. However, that is, I think, is not sufficient. I think, yeah, there's more that needs to be done.
I take your point. I mean, we're using it, and in many cases, we add sort of layers on top so that it's, you know, we don't just take the LLM, we modify it for ourselves. We're not seeing much in sense of the coding and the like. There was another one that you suggested almost as a, and it's from a scholar across the continent who's talking around the concept of sort of bringing minerals into it. Talk me around that idea that you were discussing.
Yeah, I find that interesting. I mean, we follow these discussions as people document, you know, the innovation stories. And I found that one to be extremely interesting in the sense that, you know, and the background too, that the continent's minerals have been, to an extent, exploited without the continent benefiting from them. And you can take that to our past as a continent. But there is a realization now that we need to get something out. And because AI chips use these minerals, if you want, in the process of producing them, the thinking is that because they are in demand, the option to not sell them, but essentially, for lack of a technical word for this, to almost enable whoever who needs them to subscribe to them, to almost use what is called in the tech space the SaaS model, which is almost like a service that you use without necessarily buying and almost subscribe to it. And I find that interesting because it almost allows the continent to still keep its minerals whilst getting benefit out of them. Look, I don't know whether it necessarily works at the negotiation levels, the nations that require these, but I find that to be an interesting sort of suggestion, which I think is worthy of attention. Because like Simon, I think the key thing here is that we don't have the skills that are equivalent to the skills that created your ChatGPTs of the world, right? And whilst we're still catching up, we need to leverage what we have in order to at least be players, because I think it's important that the continent as a region becomes a player for sovereignty's sake, you know, and for many, many other reasons.
I like the idea of that. It's sort of the minerals into the chips, almost as you say, a software as a service. And I think what it gets at, and I take your point, I mean, how that works, we'll find in time the discussions, we don't know, it's early days, but just as a concept of the innovation, that coming with a completely different thing, rather than saying, let's train coders, which is often the response, and to be clear, let's train coders anyway. Let's also think about some other, I mean, I almost want to say crazy ideas and see where they go.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we don't think deeply about the value of our assets, if I may put it that way. You know, if you think about like some mobile devices that use some minerals, who has ever thought of the fact that you could use our assets to, at least in terms of the business model, that could still benefit us greatly? And that's why, for me, I think this is just one of those approaches that needs to be paid attention to. I think there are other things as well that I think needs to be discussed at a higher level, and mainly for sovereignty's sake. And one of the points which I don't necessarily mention in the column is that, yes, we've spoken about the data being hosted locally, but that's not enough, because you still use the technologies that are developed elsewhere. And that, you know, as long as if that is cut off, you are out, you know. And so what I'm getting to is that you're consistently being kind of dependent as a user of these tools. And I think the content needs to get to a point where there's fair rules that are applied, and at least rules of engagement that are applied in as far as technologies that could be locally based completely, you know, because that allows you to be independent and to maintain your sovereignty. Because AI will actually become a
And I like that thinking. And I suspect, I mean, one of the steps is perhaps we need to speak as a continent rather than as 50 plus individual states. But I'm reminded of India when they sort of said to Apple, like, hang on a sec, we want you to make some of those iPhones in country. And everyone was like, never going to happen. Except now it does happen. I mean, there are iPhones being made in India. And, you know, my iPhone could be, I don't know where it's made. It could be a Foxconn in Taiwan. It could be India. But that was sort of using their clout of as 1.4 billion people, which is, again, what the African continent is.
Yes, no, exactly. And I think maybe to just take a step back again, I think the thinking behind what I wrote about was also, you know, inspired by this one item of the G20, which is inequality.
Yeah.
And if you take into account the fact that AI and mainly tech has been like it has created that inequality to an extent. And I think we were getting to a point where that we were almost leveling the playing field. In other words, we were catching up in a way. Mm-hmm. But now we're at a point where the gap is being widened again. And I think, you know, you cannot allow a society where we go back to where we were. So I think everything has to be done to make sure that, you know, society is taken care of in as far as this issue of inequality. So those are just some of the thoughts that I think are quite important to consider in this debate. And I think for me, just add, you know, what frustrates me is that we talk about the AI and we talk about these surface level, you know, training interventions as if they are us getting into AI. And yet they are just, you know, you're just tinkering on top of something that's been made for you. And you never want to find yourself in that situation. You want to be determine your future. You want to, you know, create that future yourself. And you have to get to the fundamental technology. And I think that's what we need to focus on before it's too late.
Yeah, and I love your point around how that gap is widening. And I'm thinking of Zipline, which in Rwanda delivers medical by drone. You know, the rest of the world is talking about doing burritos, but they haven't even got that. We're already doing that in Africa.
Yes.
And I think we've been doing it for close on a decade. We'll leave it there.
Exactly.
That's Wesley Dipoko. He is technology analyst and editor-in-chief, Fast Company. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Some thoughts for me. We've all heard the saying, Wall Street is not Main Street. The economy is not the stock market. I've chatted about it with guests on this show. And chatting with Skulk earlier, 62% dollar return for the South African market, ninth in the world behind the likes of South Korea and some others. And this really does prove that point. I mean, sure, locally we are seeing green early signs of some green shoots. I mean, lots of them, you know, off the grey list. We had our credit rating upgraded, but we're still two levels in junk. I mean, let's be very clear about that. GDP growth improving, but we're, you know, targeting 1.5, 1.8% next year. Not a chunky number by any stretch at all. Yet our market is in dollars up over 60%, in rands well up over 30%. The first disconnect we can see there is, well, rand strength, dollar weakness, whichever way you want to spin it, that has been a lot part of the return, and that's not really about us so much. If we look at the US, unemployment is wobbling, inflation is rising, lots of concerns, but again, markets have had a strong year, well ahead of the long-term average. In both cases, this is not the markets really reflecting what's on the ground. Locally, it's precious metals mostly driving it, although the telcos have done well as well, but it's a small little subsect of it. In the US, it's AI mania that's been doing all that heavy lifting. And I'm quite, if we took out the Mag 7, those big AI stocks, we would probably have a very disappointing year in the US. And I think if we took out the gold miners in South Africa, same story. We would have a decent year, but it would be, you know, low double digit rather than plus 30 in rands. In both cases, proving the market is not the economy. That's it for today. We were chatting with Pooja Tanner yesterday from Perpetua Investment Managers, talking about the Fed rate decision. It is Wednesday next week. We also touched on President Trump trying to, in essence, stack the FOMC, because there are 12 votes there. So it's a long way to getting what he wants, which is as lower rates. But the question was, well, do you think the FOMC will cut when it meets in next week? Almost half said the market needs it. A third said no, inflation is bad. The rest said yes, absolutely, they must. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the Moneyweb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is Moneyweb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Three leadership challenges SA asset managers face.
You've been listening to another Moneyweb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. Moneyweb Now, on the money.